Oh yeah, you want me to start?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great, I better hand these round then.
Oh, which
way? I'll do it.
Yeah. All right. Gil already has. Yeah. No, I'll get Gil. Okay. Whew, right. So the first question Gil has already pointed out, has to be kind of clarified a little bit, yeah? So here, it's just that where we're going on is it says, Shema Tetzim is based in Zacharias, right? Bizagru bar Pirchei Kuna, right? So here, this is the reason for Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi explains the reason for Rabbi Yehuda as to why you can't kind of, if she's very good looking, you're not allowed to kind of strip her naked, yeah? And the question that we're asking here is, yeah, that why can't we kind of deal with that by basically doing it in a way that the Pirchei Kuna wouldn't see her, right? The concern here is specifically like young Kohenim were going to see her, and that's going to come out with problems. So we can put up sheets so that it will be sorted. And this is Tosfos's question. But I think just to clarify the question a bit, because it's obvious it wouldn't be that she goes into a private lock and then no one sees her, right? So here the point would be obviously some people see her, but just not the people who would cause her problems. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe kind of young kids or whatever, and women and whatever. So Tosfos deals with this problem. So he says the following. He says, "V'yesh lema de l'Rabbi Yehuda im hayu parosim sadin bein al levein ha'anashim." Right? If you put up a curtain, you see his question is specifically between her and the men. Yeah. Lo hayu nivul kol kach. Right? Bnei anashim. So even there, you're going to impact even the humiliation in front of the women. Yeah. So even though the women are going to see her stripped, and there's, I suppose, some degree of humiliation, but Tosfos is pointing out that's not going to be it's not going to be enough, right? Kamoba anashim. Why? She'ein yishabusha mipnei chavurasecha v'lo yisru. Right? Because even though it is a kind of humiliation, the fact that she's going to be stripped in front of other women, yeah. But at the end of the day, for her, that's not the same degree of humiliation, yeah, as if she was kind of publicly stripped in front of everyone. So basically, Tosfos is pointing out that there's not a simple solution of putting up a sheet. I don't know whether it's because part of it is that obviously men see her, that's humiliation, but also women see that men see her, or whatever the kind of psychology is. But basically, whatever way you're doing it, kind of, you can't have that simple solution. Okay, that's the first question. Now, the second question, which is on this same piece of Gemara, I saw in the Nesivos Yom, which I'm actually, it's a kind of contemporary sefer, but I found a lot of the times where I'm kind of bothered by more kind of general questions, often he deals with them. And this was my feeling when I saw this, yeah, piece of Gemara, which is that, wait a sec, why are we always focusing on Pirchei Kuna going and then kind of, chasing her afterwards, and we're wondering, yeah, but if, we're talking about maybe chasing, other women, things like that, yeah? What about there and then? Right? Like, surely like there should be a problem of anyone seeing her having impure thoughts. It always seems to be the focus. It seems to be that, she's going to get out and she's going
to
be...
Right, so the actual deed, you mean, what it meant, not the hero itself.
Yeah, exactly, that's the deal, yeah? I mean, you see it in the sentence here, right? Maybe she's going to come out, zakait, and then they're going to chase her, right? But, if it was that, she was to die, let's say, for instance, yeah? It's not going to be a problem, yeah? We're not worried about that. Well, wait a sec, we should be, we've all been taught, we shouldn't be looking at, and having impure thoughts and things like that. So what that seems to, it always seems to be a very practical concern. There's going to be a practical avera. That's what he's picking up on. So we're on just number two, this question number two, yeah? Essentially, why are we always focused on averas coming out, practical averas, rather than just, a problem of impure thoughts, which you see doesn't seem to be itself an issue. So it says in the Nesivos Yom the following. He says, "V'nira b'biur, right? Tirutzu shel Rabba, right? So Rabba, this is Rabba's teretz. Di olam gam etzem ahiru asa." So he's saying, okay, for sure there would be a problem of hiru itself. Yeah, it's not that's just not a problem at all. Yeah, Rak should say de'ein b'zeh k'day lahakshes l'Rabbi Yehuda amai lo chayish, right? B'skila l'haru k'mo b'sota. But that wouldn't be enough of a problem, yeah? Say, well, wait a sec, surely there should be, why isn't he worried about Skila, right? Like he is Besoto, why? Derak kishyesh lachshosh kishyagir lemaisa aveira shall isuri krisis and misis based in, mamash, yeah? Because it's only if you were going to come to a level where we're concerned, this is going to come out to a really serious aveira, right? For instance, like a sota where afterwards she's going to come out Zakait, and then the Pirchei Kuna, they'd be aroused, they're going to chase her and do a terrible Maisa. right? The chachashash mishum ma'aseh aveira gufa. So therefore, akhu divrei Torah, right? Mishum zeh. And it's only when there's that level of aveira that we're actually going to go and uproot something which the Torah requires, mishum zeh. So, i.e., what he's pointing out already is, yeah, this is not something we're looking at in isolation, right? There, you know, for instance, with sota, right? There is, a din you're meant to go and strip her, right? So, if it was just in pure thoughts, then that doesn't necessarily override that din Torah. But here we're trying to say that what does for Rabbi Huda override that din Torah, the fact that there would be a miser coming out, which is a very, very serious miser, right? Abab isha haniskeles, sheyesh rak chashash hirhu aveira. But where, for her, there's just a problem of hear her, just seeing her, maybe people will think in pure thoughts. But they're not going to follow through that with her, and we say also not with other women, yeah? Right? Umishum v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, and now you've got something on the other side, yeah, of the kind of equation. You've got ahavta l'recha kamocha, right? Srichim l'skola aruma, right? K'mavua b'gemara, right? Where there, that's actually pushing you the other way and saying, yeah, you should actually stone her naked. Why? Because she's going to have a quicker death, yeah? As the Gemara says, right? So it's kind of basically what comes out from, I found this very instructive, comes out from the Nesilas Yam, is the reason why there's always a focus on these more serious avodas is because basically each case we're doing a kind of balancing act, right? And in the case of Sota, basically we're meant to be stripping her, right, but it's only because we've got a really serious aveira that Rabbi Huda says, no, that has to override, yeah? And on the other hand, you have the Skila, right? Actually, you know, for him, he would say, I prefer not to have her stripped, right? Because after the Echel Kabocha, right? And therefore, and since there's not going to come out a practical aveira in practice, yeah? Maybe just in pure thoughts would be, so to speak, the worst. So that's not going to override the precept to try to cause her a quick death and therefore, strip her. Okay, that's in the Nesivos Yam. I thought that was quite interesting. The next question, I brought this because it did come out when we learnt it inside and people were asking on it, so I thought it was worth speaking out. Yeah, Tosfos deals with it. There's a different answer in the Tosfos Shams, if you want a kind of different approach. But this is the question here, like, boy mene Rebbe Abba Mereb Huna, right? Chevel Mitzri Maushi Ya'akev Besota. Is there an ikuv on it, yeah? Right, so is it ma'akev? So the question is, right, I mean, Pashtus Ma'akev sounds like, yeah, that if you, let's say you haven't got it, maybe like that ruins the whole sota process. Right?
Why is that such a bad
habit? Okay, so I'll tell you, we'll see in Tosfos a bit, yeah, but it sounds a bit extreme, right, that if you haven't got a Chevel Mitzri, but I'll tell you what, Tosfos in the very first part of that spells out why he's bothered by it, so I won't, let's use his words, yeah? Right, so Tosfos says following. Balkochach lachat chila lemitzvah be'inan. Right, so he says Tosfos takes on as devar pashut. Yeah, that this is not ma'akev like the whole process. For surely a chevel mitzri can only he take on as devar pashut. It's only lachat chila as a mitzvah to use that. Right, aval lav davka la'akev. So he says why? Yosef, your question. Yeah, Justice. Why? Because dehecha kisiv chevel hamitzri. Where in the Torah does it write that you need a chevel mitzri, right? Or shum kashira b'torah. It doesn't say explicitly that's what you need to do, right? But lama hayalo la'akev. I.e., we're not going to go and ruin, say the whole sota process is ruined, yeah? For something which is not explicitly discussed in the Torah, right?
Yes, it's learned out from the recommendation.
Yeah, but I hear. I mean, that... But the question would be:
is that discussed in the Torah as well?
Well, there is a general concept. Yeah. The question is there a kind of general concept of migger, something which you're going to go and say it becomes like as if it's written in the Torah, like explicit. Like there's always sometimes a difference between like things which kind of have their revision, you know, from a Torah kind of thought or Torah concept, but something which is mamish a deraisa, mefurish deraisa.
Maybe you could say that every single process of the sota. It's not written anywhere in the Torah, right? It's all midah to make it.
Well, maybe you're right. You know what? Maybe you're right. The issue is no one writes, no one says, apart from this, no one says it. Let's give you an example. Let's say they do it in slightly wrong, they don't do it by Shah Nathnur. They do it slightly a different place. Yeah, would it be ma'akim? There's not even a question in the Gemara. So the Chora, I would say Nachanami, yeah? It wouldn't be ma'akev. Like, they shouldn't do it there, right? But Lachori wouldn't be ma'akev. Yeah? I would, in Nachanami, that's what I would feel. But certainly based on this Tosfos, you're right. So Miu, right? Hamadaktek Beperish Rashi, Lo Kashimidi. Why? De Ika, have aso kumibayle, right? Because this question that we're bringing, the main question is, Imushim Mida Bemida, right? Davka Chevel. Is it, once you know that you do need a case of keneged mida, as you're saying, is it dafka chevel, right? Or shmita habegadin? Or is really maybe the main requirement for this chevel is it's not so much mida keneged mida, it's really just to stop her clothes falling down. However, sarich likshor tzilsu, right? Likshor chevel, right? Kde lifra mimena, right? And you just kind of, you know, you use this to, in order to, because she tied the belt, so that's the mida keneged mida part, right? Mihu hecha deleika chevel, so maybe that's an extra mile of that mida keneged mida, but maybe where you haven't got that chevel mitzri, right, the ikatziltzul, lo mahadra yose midai bata chevel. But maybe, yeah, you don't have to go so much after it, yeah? So when we say ma'akid, it's just that, How much effort do you have to put in? This is not the normal ma'akev. Usually the classic ma'akev means, yeah, if you don't do it, yeah, the havramina would be, the whole din would be off. But here, maybe the havramina is, yeah, listen, since there is a mida, so, you know, do we really have to put ourselves out a bit in order to try to get it, yeah? Or is it, no, be'etzem, the main purpose is really just to tie her around, and we look around, ah, no one's got chevel mitzri, okay, fine, just any old thing will work. So according to Tosafos, that's kind of really what the kind of ma'akev question is. Okay, number four. Now connected with this, yeah. Why do we use, yeah? Because what is the mida keneged mida of this chevel mitzri? Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know. Like it's also something to think about. Yeah. So I saw here in the Rav Bartanura, and I think other Rishonim also say this. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, were there anyone, did this come at all in Rashi? I'm not sure. I quoted another Rashi earlier on, which right. doesn't say this, right. but this is an interesting, I don't know whether people were thinking this, what right. is the mida keneged mida dafka of the chevel mitzri? Right? We know, okay, the act that she did was she right. tied a fancy belt around him and so on and so forth.
Right.
So what is the mida keneged? So says the Bartanuri, he says, it's number four, Mefarish B'Yerushalmi, Lefisha Asta Maisa Mitzrim. Mitzri comes from Mitzrim.
Right, right, right.
We know the Mitzrim, the Torah says, they were full of znus.
Right. Right.
So the Mida keneged mida is trying to allude to the fact that she's full of znus. I mean, Rashi in the Mishnah I quoted here says, Asu Mitzuri Dekel. It's kind of Mitzri is from like a lashon of how it's made.
Yeah, but that was that was different pshat. So the question is, what would Rashi say?
Yeah, what would Rashi say? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out it's Rashi seems to say different.
It was ugly and unhealthy.
Yeah,
that's
why. Yeah, that's why. Yeah, it's just ugly. Like, she put a fancy belt, we used an ugly belt. That's why I thought. I thought that's the way I understood Rashi.
Yeah,
sure. Okay, right, next, yeah? This is number five. This is a kind of interesting point, yeah? So the Meiri addresses this, yeah? I was a bit, I don't know whether you were bothered by this, but you know the kind of flow where we said mikadikaneng midah, even small measures, and then we say, and how do you know that each pruta and pruta kind of joins together? So I was a bit like, that felt to me a little bit separated from what we were saying before. Because we were saying there's like a mikadikaneng midah, and then we say, and now how do you know, each pruta joins together? How does that kind of connected to the previous thing? I mean, I know it's drushes mm-hmm. in the Pesukim, mm-hmm. but what's the kind of conceptual connection? So the Meiri, this is how he explains it, right? So in number five, he says, v'chein b'chol aveira gdola, or katana, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu mishalem ba midiketeg negen mida, right? So each aveira, this is kind of the first part, we know whether it's big or small, Hashem pays off midiketegen mida. V'al yekal rosh b'masha roa, and there's kind of a hidden question in here, which is, don't kind of get this, you know, put out, so to speak, when you don't see that there's necessarily any kind of punishment, yeah? Because mm-hmm. i.e., there's a kind of a hidden, like, section here that Miri's putting in, which is, if there's mida, big, small, doesn't matter, mida, then people sometimes see and think, well, wait a sec, I don't see anything here yet, yeah? So he said, don't feel bad, why? Should pruta mitzterefeth, look at Issa. Because there's also another concept that sometimes it's not an immediate thing, but Hashem lets things accumulate and then pays off. So that's the kind of, within the Miri's kind of pshat, he's kind of connecting the two things together into kind of one flow, which I thought was quite nice.
It's on the lines of Rashi as well.
Oh, wow, I missed this. Rashi also connects that in that way?
If you look, he says in a case where he didn't pay from him the first time.
Square.
But he doesn't speak out the thought process as much.
Ah, okay. Yeah, okay, so maybe it's
yeah, yeah. Right.
Sometimes
yeah.
kind of you see something a bit more than foolish. Right. Okay, I'll have to look again, Rashi. Yeah. Because I was bothered by that. So with Rashi, it's so good. Sometimes, you know, you really have to kind of get into Rashi to properly understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll look at Mitzrayim, look again at Rashi to try to see how it comes up. Do we have one? Sure. So basically, we're on number six here. Yeah, I've got time for six, and if people are okay, six and seven, hopefully. Okay, so this is the machlokus, yeah? Mansava, right, sa'ar d'gufa adif, right? And then we say, you know, so Hanya Rabbi Huda. So what's this talking about, yeah? So at this stage in the Gemara, we were talking about skila, yeah? And we said that, you know, we started off really trying to explain the Rabbanon. If you remember, like, the structure, we had, like, the contradiction. And we first of all resolved Rabbi Huda, right? And then we came and said, well, wait a second, there's also a contradiction, Rabbanon and Rabbanon.
Mm-hmm.
And we resolved that. And this is how we resolved it. We said, well, in the case of skila, there's a precept say that you have to have Misa Yafa. And then as part of that, we explained that there's basically a machlokus as to how best you do Misas Yafa,
mm-hmm.
right? So for the Rabbanon, basically, basically it's a payoff in terms of, you know, embarrassment, yeah, but a quicker death, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would she prefer? And that's basically comes out of the machlokus. The problem here that the Maharsha is dealing with, yeah, is that once we kind of say that, then wouldn't that also kind of answer for Rabbi Yehuda? Right?
It does. So one prefers one prefers the other.
Exactly. But I'm saying it. But in the flow of the Gemara, I don't know, it seems as if, no, well, it's only been kind of brought to explain Rabbanon. Yeah. And Rabbi Huda, I don't know, it sounds like we don't fall off our first answer. Right?
Right.
I mean,
right. Yeah.
So I suppose the standard question
says,
would be...
the Gemara explains Rabbanon.
Right. Well, you mean Rabbi Huda and Rabbanon?
Yeah.
Yeah. But all I'm pointing out is that once we come onto, for instance, yeah, just on a simple thing, why don't we just turn around and say, listen, yeah, for when it comes to Sota, yeah, with, you know, the reason there is, right, that we, you know, he's worried about Averis, right? When it comes to Skila, though, even if there's a concern about Averis, yeah, but there's a concept of Misa Yafa, and that
kind
of
right, I get
that. And that overrides
yeah,
it.
That over, yeah, 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 you don't even need the first, yeah.
And you see, you don't, right. why can't we just skip out right, effectively
yeah.
the first way of answering and saying, oh, there's no, right. you know, it's mashma that we have, for Rabbi Huda, we have to say, no, there won't be concerns about Averis in the case of Skila.
Right.
Yeah? Does that make sense to that question?
Yeah.
Right. So the Maharsha addresses that, yeah, and he says here, right, Yesh Lomar, right, to Mikonakon, right? Let's say for Rabbi Huda, yeah, if in Skila we really were concerned there would be averis that come out in practice. Like Bonag Yidla, I know we don't say this, yeah, but just to kind of speak it out. Let's say even if, like, you know, she was stoned, but because they see her, they're gonna get aroused and chase after other married women, which we don't say, right? We specifically exclude right. that. But Lu Yitzu, that was true, right? Lo havi salkina no sa'arum, right? Mishum Mrs. Yafa Didah. Right? Bekala Havin. So he's just pointing out, yeah, that these things, we're not falling off the first thing, yeah? That when it comes to Mises Yafa, what he's saying is, it kind of like, for Rabbi Huda, that wouldn't necessarily on its own be a decisive factor. The first factor for Rabbi Huda is concerned about Averis, right? And basically, if where there is a concern, like linking into what we said in the beginning, right. where there's concern, there's going to be a really big potential practical Avera that's going to come out, yeah? That's the trump card. So when it comes to Sota, that's what tells us, yeah, that we don't strip her. Even though Lechora, Nivul, is an important concept that we learn from the Torah. We're meant to be Menavel her, right? But this kind of trumps it, yeah, where there's practical concern there. So even Mrs. Yaffa, even though, let's say, he would hold, yeah, that there's Torah concept of Mrs. Yaffa, and the best way to kill her would be naked. But if there was a practical Avera coming out from that, he would still hold that practical Avera would have to trump that. And we'd have to stone her with her clothes on. So all the Maharsha is pointing out is, yeah, don't... Like, we shouldn't get carried away, in a sense, yeah, mm-hmm. with this distinction in Mises Yafa, right, to think that alone would answer Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda's the most prominent thing for Rabbi Huda does remain this question of practical avails. And once you get rid of practical avails, yeah, he then does say, well, okay, then it's better to stone it naked, because for him, that is a key of Mises Yafa. So we still need to explain why to stone her naked once we bring up the question of Mises Yafa. So for him, that is the best way of doing Mises Yafa, but it's not a standalone reason. That's kind of what Maharsha's bringing out. Okay, last question, yeah? This is kind of an obvious question in the Gemara, but, you know, we end up talking about, you know, the two parts of the Mishnah where we first of all say in the Mishnah that, you know, everyone comes, you know, can come to see her, right?
Right.
And then we say, kind of, and women are chayv to come to see her. And we say, wait a sec, you know, how do we resolve, like, you know, right? Of course, the Mishnah says that women are mutter to come and see her, mutaros, yeah? And we explain that as being chayav, right?
Right.
So the question, though, is, yeah, at the end of the day, the actual lashon in the Mishnah is mutaros. So the way we end up resolving it is we say, the first part of the Mishnah is talking about everyone, men in particular, there, that's mutter. And the second part that says that women are mutaros, that's talking about a chiyuv. They really, we encourage them to go. We go with the Ramkol and, you know, say, all women, please come to the, you know. So, but how do we fit that with the simple words in the Mishnah? That's basically the ikkar problem. Mm-hmm. So here, there's different ways to say it, but let's have a look inside. So the Rosh deals with this, yeah? And he says, v'hadak tani kol ha'nashim mutaros, yeah? Lav davka mutaros. Yeah, Ella, agav d'katani iser la'avdecha l'shiftotecha. Right, so it's a love davka, but he's going to explain why. You know, whenever you see love davka, you still needs a bit more explanation. So he's explaining, since we've taught beforehand, yeah, that her servants and her maid servants, yeah, can't come, right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, that is kind of mutaris is in contrast to that. Katani lashon heta b'chol anashim. Right, the filu and what? So what? You have to have a havamina here, though.
Right.
Okay. So now he's going to tell you havamina. So far, the first step is to try to say that mutaris is a bit loved afka, but still we need a reason why it's used. The answer is because we've said her maid servants and her servants should not come. Yeah. So now we're going to contrast to say no, these women you don't have that problem, right? And you're not going to. It's true. It's loved afka because it really should say they're chayav to come. At least mutaros is coming in order to contrast with the servants. And what's the havamina though? There is a havamina though that they shouldn't come. What's that? Right? So the afilu im hayachaverta, right? Even if, let's say, it's going to be her friend, yeah? The one that she goes to, like, to give her a bit of moral support, yeah? Right? Beliba gaspa, and therefore, you know, when she sees her, she feels like, you know, emboldened, yeah? Right? Lo chashishu lezeh, mishum mitzvah v'nivasru, right? So, i.e., there's a havamina, right, that women will say, don't come along, because her best friends are going to turn up, yeah? And they're going to be there to support her with a banner of, you know, Rachel, go for it, you know, whatever it is, yeah? Like, we're here for you, yeah? And she's going to look at them, yeah, I can do this, yeah? And, like, yeah, and we'll say, maybe, like, the same logic that says her maid servants or whatever, so right. Don't let these women come, yeah? Right? But no, so we want to contrast in a little mutaros, yeah? But it's still loved up, because at the end of the day, that's coming to look at that havamina, but in reality, we are saying that it's actually chayav, yeah? Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of destruction, the Rosh, yeah? And finish off, that there's a chidushe ma'arich, yeah? So there's a little bit of a different type, yeah? Mm-hmm. So these last words. L'chein nirali, d'rava perush, d'lashen hu, lashen hasra. So he says, he gets out of the same bind by saying mutaros. Yeah. It's kind of coming from, and kind of a lashen of kind of, you know, it's like a lashon of, like, women are like a lashon of warning, like mutaros, like, you know, whatever, however you've
like, yeah, like warned to come.
Warned to come, yeah, you know, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
thanks, Israel. Square. Beautiful.